scripture. It is our scripture that's guiding us through the year of our theme of together, and it comes from Colossians 3, verse 14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And today's scripture, it's from Jesus's the Lord's Supper, and it comes from Luke 22, verses 15 through 20. And Jesus was speaking, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took the loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that has poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. I like food. Do you like food? That's a first. I'm going to start asking these kinds of questions more often. Food, it makes us feel welcome, right? Food is a sign of hospitality in many, many times. Before my grandmother passed away, every time I would go to her house, I would go straight to the cupboard. I would like say, "Hey," and I would walk straight to the kitchen. And I knew that she would have three things. Now, there may not be any fruits or vegetables or anything nutritious, but she would have dry roasted peanuts, potato chips, and ice cream all the time. And I was trained from a little child, she would say, "Just go get whatever you want. Whatever's here is yours." I still do that with my parents' house. They're not as consistent. So sometimes I may have something I really want, and sometimes I just go, you need to go to the grocery store. But food, it plays such an important role in our society, in our life. We go to dinner with people as we socialize. When the holidays come around, we cook with our family and with our friends. And food feeds not only our bellies, but so many times around the table, that feeds our souls. So when you think about it like that, it's no real surprise that food and a meal is one of the two sacraments that the church holds. The Lord's Supper, it was instituted around the table. Jesus was together with his disciples, and they were sharing a meal. From the first mention of the Lord's Supper in Scripture as they're celebrating the Passover, throughout history, the Lord's Supper has been a communal meal, something we do together. Sharing the Lord's table, it is more than just eating together. It is a holy meal. It is a sacrament. It is a way that we meet Christ. It is a holy mystery, and it is a means of worship and transformation. And at the heart of the Lord's Supper, it is the revelation of the cross. It is a journey of unconditional love. It is where we celebrate that Jesus Christ loves us so very much that he was obedient unto death, that we would have restoration, that we would have forgiveness, that we would have abundant and eternal life. That is at the heart of this communal meal that we celebrate together. We come to the table and we are encountering cruciformed love. It is a transformational experience every time we come to the table, and we do that together in community. Now, we do come as individuals. We come and we bear our hearts and our souls to God. We come to this meal and we say, "Lord, we know that we have failed. We have fallen short. We have sinned against you. And Lord, we need forgiveness." And we stand bearing our hearts and our souls before God as individuals. And we do that in the midst of our community. We come to this table to better live out the commandments to love God and to love others. We come not only seeking forgiveness, but allowing God to convict us of the places that we need to be offering forgiveness in our life. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is talking about communion. He's talking about sharing the Lord's table. And he says, you must come and examine yourselves, but you do that in the midst of the whole community. As he was writing to the church, he realized that there were little groups and they were doing this holy meal all separate. And they did it based on who they liked or what little group or clique they were a part of. And Paul said, no, you don't understand this. This is for the whole community, the people that you really like to share with and the people that you don't. It is not a meal that you own. It is a meal and a means of grace from God. It's not to be celebrated in divided community, but it is to be celebrated as the whole body of Christ. Most of us, we have celebrated Holy Communion before. For many of us, we have celebrated Holy Communion for all of our lives. As long as we can remember, we've been gathering together and coming to this holy meal. But there is this thing that we've begun to forget when we do this the first of every month. Because, you know, it's the first of every month, so we're going to have communion. That's how we think about it sometimes, right? But there's something that we often forget because we're so used to it. We forget how countercultural this act of worship truly is. How revolutionary this time together as the body of Christ truly is. Because in Holy Communion, all members of the body are equal. Let that sink in. In Holy Communion, all members of the body come equally to this meal. There is a place at the table for every person. Every person, everywhere, is welcome at this holy meal. And we come as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we come to this table acknowledging that we are all God's children and there is a place for everyone. There are few moments in life where everything about the world disappears, where all of our distinctions disappear. That is why it is countercultural, because we live in a culture that ranks us in so many different ways. But for the moment of communion, when we come together, these distinctions, they fade away. There are very few places where race and class and age and gender and political party just melts away. But it happens at the Lord's table. We gather together as a family and we acknowledge that we are part of an even greater family of brothers and sisters all over the world. We are a part of God's family and we are connected and we are tied together. And in the moment of communion, we come before God without any other distinction except being a child of God. I believe that is so beautiful. I believe that impacts who we are and how we leave the communion table to know that we are truly all equal in the sight of God. On Sunday nights, we're reading a book called Our Purpose is Love. And in this book, it tells a beautiful story about an Anglican priest. His name was Harry Wiggett, and he was assigned to be a priest of the political prisoners in Cape Town, South Africa. And among the prisoners he was assigned was Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela was a lifelong Methodist, and he truly valued the communion experience. And so the first time the Anglican priest went to give communion, Nelson Mandela was there, and the priest prepared the table, and the prisoners were gathered together in that space, and there was a guard named Christo Brand. And the guard was standing there, and he was positioned, and he was paid to watch upon that group of people and make sure nothing suspicious happened. And so the Anglican priest began starting the communion liturgy, and Nelson Mandela said, "Wait," and he interrupted, and he got up, and he went to that guard, and he said, "Are you a Christian?" And Christo replied, "Yes, I am." And this is what Nelson Mandela said to him: "Well then, join us around the table. You cannot sit apart. This is Holy Communion, and we must share and receive it together." In that moment, the body of Christ was whole together. Prisoner and guard, shackled and free, they came to the table equally in the presence of God. They shared a holy moment that was a reflection of heaven in that very place, just for that moment. It was truly what God would intend the world to be. We are united in Christ, and there are moments, I truly believe, that we see glimpses of heaven, where we see how God would want us to live and be in the world. And I truly believe as we gather around the Lord's table, that is a glimpse of heaven, that we come as individuals, acknowledging that we are all in this together, acknowledging that we come as equals to partake in a grace and a love that we do not deserve, but is poured out and showered upon us. And if we stop for a moment in that particular place and time when we are gathered at the table as God's children, if we stop for just a moment and we breathe it in deeply and we rest in the Holy Spirit, I truly believe we are changed and we are transformed and we are sent away different and better and full of grace and love that we didn't have before we entered that moment. This morning, we get to do this holy mystery. We have the privilege of coming once again to the Lord's table as a part of the body of Christ. We come just as we are. We stand before God with our brothers and sisters beside of us, and for just a moment, we will be a reflection of the kingdom of heaven. And I invite you to sit in that moment, to breathe it in deeply, and to feel the grace and the presence of a God who loves you more than you can ever imagine. And then we will sing a closing hymn, and we will be sent back into the world, transformed by cruciformed love, so that the world will come just a little closer to know what it means to experience love in action. Tangible, cruciformed love that can live within us and within us as a body of believers. This morning, I invite you to come to the table together. Amen.